Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 John. We're in chapter 2. We're beginning in verse 7. I want to remind you that what we're looking for, and we're just moving quickly through 1 John, what we're looking for as we go through is this series of indicators that God gives us in this letter as to how we can know that we have eternal life. And it's not that anybody who reads this should conclude that they have eternal life. Some people, when they read this, should come to the conclusion that they need to get saved. As we said last time, if you don't have a pulse and you're not breathing, it's a very bad sign. And if, as you read this letter, and it describes what a born-again person looks like and lives like, if that doesn't line up with you, you need to get saved. And you can be saved. Jesus came to save sinners. So don't despair, but cry out to God for mercy. Ask Him to forgive your sins and to give you new life. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. This is God's word. "Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command that you've had from the beginning. The old command is the word you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light, but hates his brother or sister, is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, since your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you've come to know the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. But the one who does the will of God remains forever. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar, if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I've written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you. Remain in him. So now, little children, remain in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Many things about the way that John writes, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but many of the things that he writes and the way in which he writes them are a little odd to our ears. The repetition in verses 12 through 14 basically form a song. We don't have the melody, but the way in which that's structured is typical of what you would find in a song. And yet, his going back and forth, I'm giving you not a new command, but an old command you have from the beginning, yet I am giving you a new command. That's not the way we would want to leave a letter. We'd want to kind of clean that up a little bit. But there's no imperfection in it. It is saying exactly what is true. It is God speaking to us. And my prayer for you, as well as for myself, is that as we go through this, we hear and believe God's word. This is his word, and it's not just his word in general, it's his word to us. If you are a child of God, and that's who he's writing to, if you are a child of God, then these things are for you. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command that you've had from the beginning. The old command is the word you've heard. So in other words, don't let this shock you. What I'm about to tell you isn't some new thing. And yet he says, but there's a sense in which it is new, and the way in which it's new is that now you can live in it. In the old covenant, God gave people commands, and on the one hand, it showed the way things should be, and on the other hand, it showed that all of us were messed up. The Old Testament law didn't empower people to do the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law demonstrated that things aren't right with the human heart. In our natural state, all of us are crooked. We're all bent. It revealed our need for a Savior. What's new about this command is that now, because of Jesus Christ not only dying on the cross to pay for our sins and rising from the dead as conqueror over death, but having sent his Holy Spirit to live his resurrected life in and through us, because of that, we can actually do what God says. We really can. Well, what does God say? He says you're supposed to love each other. So the sense in which it's a new command is that now we're in a new age. We're in a new dimension. I'm writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. We have not yet seen the consummation of all things. There is still more to come. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. But the kingdom's already here. It's already begun. It's already beginning to manifest. And where God's people come together to worship him and love one another, that is his kingdom on earth. If you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that you have no other hope and you know that he is enough. Then wherever you are, the kingdom is shining, because Jesus himself is living his life through you. And the reason you're changing is because he is at work in you and through you. And the one who says he's in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Do you get what he's saying? This is a simple test. This is a pass-fail test. It's not like, well, I think I got about a 73. No. Either you love your brothers and sisters, or you hate your brothers and sisters. No, I'm more just indifferent. Well, then you hate them. Oh, I wouldn't say I hate them. I mean, I don't want to kill them. I just hope I never have to do anything for them or see them again. I just don't. Do you pray God's blessing on them? Do you long to see them blessed? No. Then you don't really love them, do you? No. If you don't love, and it's not just talking about your brothers and sisters physically or biologically, that's not the emphasis here. This is talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is talking about other believers. And let me tell you, they can be hard to love. Okay? It requires supernatural grace. But that's what God gives us. Because here's the amazing thing. You may not like that person, but God loves that person so much that he sent Jesus to die for them. If the God who created everything is willing to be associated with me, if the God who is sinless, perfectly holy, is willing to be associated with me, is there anybody out there who in comparison is uncool? I should be ashamed to be seen with them. I don't want people to think I'm like that. I am like that compared to God. And God loves them. So I better start loving them too. You don't even have to like everybody, but you need to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a command. God says so. Don't just make nice, learn to love them. How do you do that? By yielding yourself to his Spirit, because his Spirit loves them. His Spirit loves them so much that Jesus came to save them. That is love. And so when you're filled with his Spirit, his love is going to come through you, and you're going to care about people that you wouldn't care at all about if it weren't for Jesus. And that's what he's describing here. If you're a married couple and you want to enrich your marriage, we have a plan. May 31st and ending Sunday, June 2nd, that's a wonderful weekend from Friday through Sunday, should be a fabulous time of renewal and encouragement, refreshment for you as we study God's Word together. My wife and I would love for you to join us if you're a married couple that wants to grow closer in your walk with the Lord and your walk with each other. So you can get more information and you can register. at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And then he says, you better be careful. Don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. I want to phrase this carefully, but I'll use a biblical image. Suppose that you were given the opportunity to go into a bank vault and take anything you wanted. You can have anything you want. Anything. And you went in there and you looked for used cigarette butts and twist ties. Would you say that's kind of insane? Wouldn't that be insane? Suppose you were invited to go to a beautiful orchard where the fruit was in season and it was fabulous fruit. And they said, take anything you want. And you said, oh, thank you, thank you. And went around looking for raccoon dung. Let me just tell you. That's the way most people are living their life. And tragically, it's the way that tons of people who claim to be Christian are living their lives. They are pursuing stuff that's passing away. Chasing after something that doesn't matter at all. All of this is going to burn up. Read 2 Peter 3. If you are trying to satisfy that longing in your heart by getting stuff, you are wasting your life. And so he says, don't love this stuff. This stuff's not from the Father. It's from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Pastor Wood, you referred to verses 12 through 14 as being like song lyrics, and then you failed to touch on them when you went over them. Let me summarize them this way. He says to the believers, I'm writing to you because God has already given you the victory. Okay? It is a wonderful message of encouragement. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. You know the one who is from the beginning. You have conquered the evil one. You know the one who's from the beginning. God's word remains in you, and you've conquered the evil one. It is a message of encouragement and victory. And that is the message for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 18 and following, children, it's the last hour. And as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belong to us. Have you ever seen a person lose their faith? Yeah, that person used to be a Christian. They were real. You know, I mean, they were, he was a preacher. He was a preacher. Now, I mean, he's just totally turned from the faith, and I just don't understand that. I was always taught that a person can't lose their salvation, but apparently they can. No, they can't. They never had it. That's what it says here. A dog returns to its vomit. You know why? Because it's a dog. Its nature was never changed. And there are people, I've known some, who for a while say all the right stuff and look like the real thing. But then the paint starts to peel off. And it turns out, no. That was not a genuine conversion. That was a false profession of faith. Judas was not a suspect at the Passover meal. When Jesus said, one of you will betray me, the other disciples didn't say, I bet it's Judas. I've always suspected that guy. No, Judas was the treasurer, even though he was an embezzler. Judas went out and he preached, and God did miracles honoring his word. And in Matthew 7, we read, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? He says, I'll say to them, depart from me, you lost your salvation. Is that what he says? No, he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. The problem is not people losing their salvation. The problem is people who were not genuinely trusting Christ. Again, in Matthew 7, what are those people saying? They're not saying, but Lord, Jesus died for me. They're saying, but Lord, we did this, we did this, we did this, we did this. And if you think you're going to get into heaven on the basis of what you've done, you are not going to heaven. Please understand that. Nobody is going to go to heaven on the basis of what they themselves have done. But I'm going to heaven.
Well, Pastor Wood, you're an old man.
Yes. But my hope right now is the same that my hope was when I was a child. My hope is in Jesus. He's the only one who saves. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ and in him alone for your salvation, you are saved and you have overcome the evil one. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. No lie comes from the truth. So, the liar is the one who refuses to recognize Jesus and his relationship with the Father. And if somebody claims to be a worshiper of God, but they refuse Jesus as God, that person doesn't know God. What you've heard from the beginning is to remain with you, verse 24. If what you've heard from the beginning remains in you, then you'll remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. So, again, here's a test. God's word has to remain in you. You've got to be true to it. If you're not faithful to his word, you don't remain in him. I've written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Did you know that you will encounter throughout your life people who are agents of the enemy and will try to deceive you? And he says, you don't need anyone to teach you. You already know the truth. Who knows the truth? Those who are trusting in Jesus. So now, little children, verse 28, remain in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. What's he saying? Saying the same thing he did earlier, and that is, if you really believe in Jesus, it'll result in a changed life. If you really believe in Jesus, it'll result in a changed life. If you really believe in Jesus, it will result in a changed life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.wearesvalleyranch.org.